Convergence, synergy, melding, blending, intertwined, intersectional. I need a complex version of freedom struggle. I need a nuanced style, one that confuses and confounds the senses. I need complication. I need the real. What I've come to appreciate most about Dr. King is an ability to never lose sight of the real, as his career, bless you. I can hear as well. As his career reached the highest global heights, international freedom struggles, White House visits, Nobel Peace Prize celebrations, etc., Dr. King actually went in the opposite direction. Dr. King went local. He moved into a Chicago neighborhood. He spent time in corner stores and on street corners. He spent time living in a housing community, in a housing complex that ultimately resulted in the Poor People's Campaign. Dr. King attempted to be as grassroots as his name and acclaim would allow. I often realize that I and many of my contemporaries have a tendency to refer to Dr. King as a moderate. He is safely packaged for us. When we do so, we are in fact demonstrating a blindly ignorant understanding of the importance of detail in history. We may soon be entering an era when speaking out, moderately or otherwise, will actually be moderated through gag orders or executive orders or presidential decrees. In Dr. King's day, speaking out, moderately or otherwise, was grounds for death. Breaking the silence, no matter the moderation in tone, was not matched by moderation indeed. Whistles could kill. Invented whistles, alternative whistles, could get one lynched. Dr. King experienced more than his fair share of violence. He was stabbed at a book signing. He was hit in the head with rocks while marching. He was beat with batons while being arrested. His house was firebombed. So yes, stabbed, assaulted, shoved, hit, spat upon, beaten, bombed, and ultimately shot, all for speaking moderately against racism. I start here for two reasons. First, I start here to reinforce the concept that the details of history matter. In fact, facts matter. We should do our best to be informed and allow this to inform our thinking and hopefully, most important, our actions. Understanding the depths of violence experienced by Dr. King helps us to understand the commitment to nonviolence. It is through the beatings, the lynchings, the assaultings, the fire hosings, the bombings, the dog bitings, and unfortunately too often the killings. It is through these acts and in these faces of violence that Dr. King deepens a commitment to the inverse, to respond with love. Second, I start here to proclaim that there is nothing moderate about love. Love is a radical act. Love is obsessive. Love occupies a space beyond the fanatical. Love is the opposite of moderation. And yet we have the audacity to call Dr. King a moderate. The details of history tell us there is nothing moderate about the considered efforts to operationalize love as a positive advantage towards justice. And yet, beyond moderation, there are more important questions of interrogation that also warrant our attention. Was Dr. King an assimilationist? Sure. A sexist? Yes. Homophobic? History tells us so. Dr. King was certainly flawed and appears to embody many of the things that we try to argue against. And yet remember, this is a complicated form of freedom. Similar to openly expressing anti-black sentiments by Mahatma Gandhi or Elizabeth Cady Stanton, both committed activists for justice. There are times when we have to be willing to depart with our heroes. And I'm also reminded that Dr. King was struck down while only being 39 years young. One can only hope that personal growth also has a long moral arc that bends towards justice. In a world of justice, reconciliation must also be on the table. But growth and reconciliation are easier said than done. Personally, I have constant reminders about the radical nature of love, about acts of love. We often put love and hate as antithetical concepts. In our quick fashioning, these concepts seem to be incongruent. Yet I'm reminded of the quote from the late, great Eli Wiesel, who says, The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The way to neutralize love is not to hate, it's to be disinterested, unconcerned, detached. The way to neutralize love are through these acts. The truth is that the irony can only be found in the fact that hate actually means engagement. Paradoxically, hateful engagement, while far too often deadly, also brings a particular form of opportunity. The emotion of hate is so strong that it drives us to act in ways we wouldn't normally to act. But I'm here to ponder with you today, if love is stronger, what actions are we willing to undertake that we would normally not do? What do radical acts of love look like? Where are our radical acts of compassion, of allyship, of sisterhood? In a letter from the Birmingham jail, Dr. King outlines his method of nonviolent social action. Dr. King captures four steps of nonviolent direct action. And since the details matter, it's important to note that Dr. King captures these steps while in jail, being arrested on Good Friday, pressed against the cold metal bars of a jail cell, confined to solitary confinement, and worried about the increasing acts of violence, particularly amongst children, against children, upon children. In March of 1963, Dr. King was on the cusp of another act of radical revolution. I sit here and say this post the election of 2016. There is clearly a need for a radical revolution of values. And this is beyond partisan politics. This is beyond the political process and what the most recent election reflected about us as a people. We are in times when we need to do work to create a world that we hope to leave to our children. And so I close this evening. I believe it's helpful to revisit some of the things and the steps of nonviolent social change. I hope it inspires us to create a world that is much more just and far, far, far less indifferent. If we were to undergo a radical revolution of values, silence will not be the path forward. Absolutely, there are times when we must, when we are forced to break the silence. And to this end, we need to discuss, we need to debate, we need to dialogue, we need to reconcile, we need to share the stage. And so let me take my seat. Thank you very much.